This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Kelly Morlock can help you manage your wealth and retirement needs.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Want to go ride a horse? That's our topic today. I'm Cindy Menzel for the Feature Story of the Week, and I'm talking with Sarah Guz. And the topic here is the availability of horses. This coastside, and welcome, Sarah, by the way, the availability of being able to go horseback riding, the number of horse ranches and such. It's made the coastside somewhat famous because we've had such amazing ranches and such. And I'm understanding that two horse ranches are closing or have closed. Sarah, you've been working on this not only with the California Horse Club, but you've told me the other organizations such as the Coastside Horse Council have been working on this. Help us understand what the issue is. For example, these ranches are closing. Why are they closing and where are the horses going?
So first of all, glad to be here. Second of all, I just want to go on record by saying I am very loosely associated with the Coastside Horse Council. I am the founder and executive director of the California Riding Club.
Right.
What I have seen anecdotally in being in this industry is last year we had two ranches close, meaning that the horses that were there were given 30 days, in one case, 30 days to find somewhere new.
Where do the horses go?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's very limited space on the coast in some instances for these horses to go. So maybe they go over the hill to like Woodside or Portola Valley. But I mean, that's a really good question. Like, I don't know where those horses are going.
Okay. And so why is the number of horses and the availability of horses, why is it diminishing?
So in my opinion, I think it has to do with the cost of real estate. So one of the properties that is in the process of closing is actually for sale for an astronomical amount of money. A lot of the people that own the properties are older. They're looking to retire. They're looking to cash out and give their legacy some kind of inheritance. And so they're putting the properties up for sale, and it's easier to have a developer swoop in and develop it than keep it available for horses.
And so did I understand that there are some places where the ranches have been leasing property, and now the lease is limiting the number of horses that can be on a property?
Well, that was an issue last year. If you go back to the Coastside News Group or some of the other news organizations, or if you look at the Coastside Horse Council website, it'll kind of give you an overall view of what had happened last year. As I understand it, and this is just my understanding of the issue right now, is that given the new administration and the new politics, that's kind of died out for right now. I don't think there's been any movement on that. So I think in a nutshell, if you were to describe the state of horses on the coast, in my opinion, is basically you've got horse properties that are disappearing, and it's getting harder and harder for people to find entry points into the horse world. So I think if that's the crux of the story, is the entry point into the horse world, right?
The crux is, when I asked you before what was being done, you have horse ranches closing, but then the California Horse Club has just started. And this, I presume, is a response or as a result of all of these ranches closing.
So the California Riding Club is opening and has opened while these other ranches are closing. We have entered into a partnership with Caltrans, and we're able to convince them to lease us a parcel of land off of Sunshine Valley Road.
Oh my.
And so we inked the lease in May of 2025, and by June, we were up and running with full-on horse camps. We've got two arenas. We've got a makerspace clubhouse where the kids can come and tinker and, you know, basically exist and have fun and be outside and learn how to build things. So, yeah, we're definitely opening and are committed to making horses accessible for everyone, so all kids.
Somewhat adults, too. Let's stick to the horses for a minute. Mm-hmm. So you, I know you rescue horses. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the rescue of horses, and are some of those horses that you're rescuing coming from the ranches, the local ranches that are closing?
Ironically, yes. So we are currently working. There's another ranch that is in the process of closing, the trainer's leaving, and we are working with her right now to see if we can't take on rescue one or two of her horses who probably aren't going to have a home.
So how do you find out about these? It's weird. I can't even imagine having, okay, I've got all of these horses. Now what do I do with them?
Yeah, so we have, the California Riding Club has a phenomenal reputation within the industry with respect to how we treat our horses. Our horses have access to the best veterinary care. They also have access to high caliber trainers. Basically, it's word of mouth. It's vets that happen to be servicing certain ranches, and they see the ranches closing, or they see a horse needs a home, and they'll actually talk to the owners and say, "Have you heard about the California Riding Club? Mm-hmm. You may want to reach out to them and see if your horse is a fit for their program."
And how many horses do you have, and what kind of horses are a good fit for your program?
So right now we have a herd of 7. We're looking to add. Basically, the first thing that we look at is we look at temperament. So all of our horses have been hand-selected because they have a temperament that works well with kids and works well with beginners. And so that's the first thing we're looking at. How willing is the horse to do what we ask them to do when we're trying them? The second thing is that we're looking at horses. We're looking at horses that can, at minimum, do a walk and a trot. And, we're not looking at horses who can handle high physical exertion. A lot of our horses that we get have been retired or are retiring from their first job. But, yeah, it's mainly temperament, because we're looking for horses that are going to help the kids that join our program build confidence. That's what we want, is we want a kid to be able to build confidence with our horses.
How do you go about collecting the horses? I presume, do they just drop them off? Do you go get them? Or let's say I know of some horses I can obviously call. Your website is california.horse, which is kind of an interesting website. And if you're interested in lessons or doing anything with the California Riding Club, that's the place to go. I've got horses, or I know of horses. Do I have to deliver them to you? Do you come and pick them up?
So we definitely have a process. First of all, we have a pipeline of horses that are waiting to get into our program, which is kind of cool. Our first thing would be for me and my partner, Sarah Layden, who is amazing. Can't say enough about her. I would not be where I am without her today. She and I will go out and we'll take a look at the horse, and we can tell right away just by watching them and by interacting with that horse if it's a good fit for our program. Because like I said, we're looking at, first of all, personality, because our number one goal is safety. And so if we've got a horse that personality-wise isn't going to work well with kids, then they're not a fit for us, right? Mm-hmm. After that, the next step would be for us to have a vet check. And so all of our horses are fully vetted. And that does two things. First of all, it gives us an idea of where the horse is physically, but also helps us identify any kind of medical issues. So like in late life, horses get like diabetes. They call it Cushing's. We need to know if there's thyroid issues, or, you know, we're looking at anything that the horse might be experiencing that maybe might be undiagnosed or undisclosed, because when you become a part of our herd, we make sure that the horses have the medication and the veterinary care that they need. So we need to be prepared for that.
And Sarah was a professional rider and has been in the equestrian community for
20 years. She's got a bachelor's degree in horse science. She's a world champion equestrian. She ran her own barn at a elite private school in Florida. Where I come to the table is I've got a nonprofit background, and also I'm an educator, so I'm a teacher. So together we work really well.
We've been talking about the availability of horses and the horse ranches on the coastside. If you want to know more about the diminishing horse ranches or want to do something with it, we encourage you to connect with Coastside Horse Council, and their website is coastsidehorsecouncil.org. And if you want to know about kids riding programs and just anything about
donating your horse,
donating a horse, go ahead and connect with the California Riding Club.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's all good.
At california.horse. And I've been talking with Sarah Guz, and I'm Cindy Menzel for the Feature Story of the Week.
KHMB contributor Cindy Menzel with our Feature Story of the Week. And for Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson. And now let's pony back to 1940, courtesy of Cameron Palmer and the KHMB Time Machine. This is Community Radio for the San Mateo County Mid-Coast.
100.9, Coastside Radio.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
This week, the Time Machine goes back as far as the dial goes. To 1940. What is life looking like here on the Coastside in 1940? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, rancher wounded in rifle accident, a Pescadero rancher while target shooting accidentally shot himself in the ankle. Joseph Molina was with his two ranch hands when the accident occurred. And 21 communicable diseases in the county. The county health director reports cases of scarlet fever, mumps, and chickenpox reportedly recently in San Mateo County. And two women go off Coast Cliff. Two young, unidentified San Francisco women escaped with minor cuts and bruises when their car plunged down a 40-foot embankment at the beach, opposite of Dan's Auto Court in Moss Beach. And now for a little history in the making from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. We're so pleased with the immediate success of our double-decker bus, with all its treasures. If you haven't yet visited, please go out the side doors and up the steps by the wishing well. Great clothes for all ages, collectibles, housewares, jewelry, vintage models, things for kids, and more. It's a passing parade of great items, so stop by each time you visit Cameron's Pub. Christmas items are here and in stock. And if you have an ugly Christmas sweater party coming up, we got the sweaters for you, and boy, are they ugly. Happy holidays to all of you. Keep calm and bargain bus on. We do hope you'll visit us soon at Cameron's Restaurant, Pub, and Inn, and now RV camping. The Great Depression is slowly beginning to ease, and Americans are earning more and buying more, helping the economy further recover. But outside of America, things are not as good as Germany invades France, and Western Europe is controlled by Germany and Italy. But in the United States, Americans are feeling good about leaving the Depression behind. The nylon stockings, invented in the previous year, are all the rage with women. FDR is elected to the third term, but Americans see storm clouds as Britain is in the fight for survival with Germany, and the first peacetime draft occurs later this year. How much do things cost? Hold on to your hat. They do wear hats in 1940. A new house will be just shy of $4,000 on an average yearly wage of $1,700. Rent a house for $30 a month. Everyone needs a radio, and it still costs you $16.95 to get one. Let's get the pain over with. Gas is 11 cents a gallon. For entertainment, it's the silver screen, and two most popular films are Walt Disney's animated film Pinocchio, released together with Fantasia and The Great Dictator, starring Charlie Chaplin. Oh, and let's not forget one of the biggest of all, Gone with the Wind, a classic to this day. Jazz sounds are on the popular music charts of the day with the likes of Benny Goodman and Count Basie, among others. This entertainer was widely regarded as one of jazz's finest clarinetists. He led one of the most popular big bands in the late 1930s and 1940s. You can almost see people cheek to cheek on the dance floor when Artie Shaw played Friends.
Thank you.
Born in Iowa in 1904, this bandleader was one of the most popular. When you were not in the mood for slow dance, Glenn Miller provided some of the most up-tempo music out there. Here's Glenn Miller and In the Mood. Time Machine take us next week. Thanks for listening. Until next time on the KHMB Time Machine, this is Cameron Palmer.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
Welcome to Financial Focus on KHMB, community radio for the Coastside. Join us as we explore what you need to know about securing your financial future. We'll cover topics like managing your 401k and IRA, understanding your Social Security benefits, and navigating pension plans. It's time to help you enjoy the retirement you've worked so hard for. And now, here's your host, Kelly Morlock of Edward Jones in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Morlock with Edward Jones, and this week's Financial Focus. Is this a good year for tax-loss harvesting? Thanks to market swings, evolving tax laws, and new technology, it may be a good year to consider tax-loss harvesting, a strategy that can help reduce taxes and improve long-term returns. What is tax-loss harvesting? When you sell an investment for less than you paid, you may be able to use that loss to offset gains from other investments, potentially reducing your overall tax bill. If your total capital losses exceed your capital gains, you can use up to $3,000 of those losses to reduce your ordinary income each year. You can carry any remaining losses forward to future tax years. The strategy doesn't eliminate taxes altogether. It simply defers them, which can free up money to reinvest elsewhere. How it works. Imagine an investor who sold one stock for a $10,000 gain and another for a $10,000 loss. The two transactions cancel each other out, meaning no capital gains taxes owed for that year. The investor can then reinvest the proceeds while following the IRS's wash sale rule. This rule prevents you from claiming a loss if you or your spouse or a related party repurchase the same or a substantially identical investment within 30 days before or after the sale. Because of this rule, you should consider how tax loss harvesting will affect your investment strategy, as the benefit of holding on to that investment and letting it grow over time may outweigh the benefit of lowering your capital gains tax bill for a given year. Good candidates for tax loss harvesting include investments that no longer fit your strategy when rebalancing your portfolio, for example, have poor investment potential, or can be easily substituted with other investments. Why 2025 may be favorable? Several factors suggest 2025 may be a good time to consider tax loss harvesting. First, market volatility has created more opportunities to realize losses. The first half of the year saw sharp market swings that left some portfolios uneven. Many large asset managers have already harvested billions in losses, using them to help lower clients' tax liability while keeping investment strategies on track. Second, tax law changes are on the horizon. With major tax reform provisions scheduled to expire in the coming years, many investors are motivated to manage their gains and losses proactively. Those in higher tax brackets stand to benefit most, as the savings increase with your tax rate. Finally, technology has made the process more efficient. In the past, investors typically harvested losses near year end. Today, automation and direct indexing allow for continuous monitoring and harvesting throughout the year, capturing losses as they appear. Putting it into practice. Tax loss harvesting isn't right for everyone, and it's not a reason to overhaul your investment strategy. The approach works best for investors with taxable accounts, current or expected capital gains, and a long-term perspective. Consult your financial advisor and a tax professional before making decisions. When used thoughtfully, tax loss harvesting can help you navigate the volatile market, reduce taxes, and keep more of your money working toward your future goals. This is Kelly Morlock with Edward Jones and Half Moon Bay.
This content was provided by Edward Jones. For use by Kelly Morlock, your Edward Jones financial advisor, at 650-726-9133.
A reverse mortgage is a financial tool that allows senior homeowners to access the equity in their homes without having to sell them. Essentially, instead of making monthly mortgage payments, seniors receive money from a lender, which is then paid back when they move out of the home or pass away. This can be particularly beneficial for seniors who are on a fixed income and may need extra funds to cover living expenses, healthcare costs, or home repairs. By providing access to cash while allowing them to stay in their homes, reverse mortgages can help seniors maintain their quality of life, such as paying off existing debts, funding home improvements, or covering medical expenses. This financial cushion can give seniors peace of mind, helping them to live more comfortably and securely without the burden of monthly mortgage payments. For more information about this financial tool for seniors, call your Coastside Reverse Mortgage Specialist at 858-967 6060 858-967-6060.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Have you ever been stressed and someone says, just breathe? I'm Reverend Dr. Lily Godso, clinical pastoral psychotherapist and your guest host today on Keeping Pace with Your Health. Today, I'm going to show you a super simple technique to help you with any stressful situation. More after this.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd. Do you snore or have trouble sleeping? If so, you may have obstructive sleep apnea. If untreated, obstructive sleep apnea can lead to stroke, heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Shepherd Family Dentistry can arrange a home sleep study connected with a specialized MD for diagnosis and customize a discrete appliance to alleviate symptoms and provide restful sleep. We can bill medical insurance and Medicare. If you would like to learn more, call us at 726-3355 or visit us at shepherddentist.com. You can get a good night's sleep, and I would like to show you how.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry,
where we bring your smile to life.
Hello, my name is Reverend Dr. Lily Godso, clinical pastoral psychotherapist and your guest host for Keeping Pace with Your Health. Today, I'll be speaking with you about how you can use a simple breathing technique known as 4-7-8 breathing to help manage your daily stress. About 100 years ago, the top 5 causes of death were infectious diseases such as tuberculosis and influenza. Today, by contrast, 4 of the top 5 causes of death are stress-related: heart disease, cancer, chronic respiratory diseases, and stroke. What if I told you that one of the most effective means we have for managing our daily stress is only a breath away, and it's 100% free? You might be thinking, could managing my daily stress be as easy as making regular use of a simple breathing technique? The science behind polyvagal theory, introduced and developed by Dr. Stephen Porges, highlights the ways in which our breathing directly impacts our vagus nerve, the main nerve of our parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is the network of nerves that relaxes our body after periods of stress or danger. When our breathing relaxes, it signals to our nervous system to withdraw from an active state and return to a state of neutrality and rest. Based on these observations, functional medicine practitioner Dr. Andrew Weil created the 4-7-8 breathing technique, used proactively to stimulate our parasympathetic nervous system response, thus helping ourselves to recover from stress in a healthy way without the need for medications or other treatments. There is a Sanskrit proverb that says, "For breath is life, and if you breathe well, you will live long on earth." Now I'm going to walk you through the polyvagal 4-7-8 breathing technique and show you how to begin using it today to manage your daily stress. First, sit comfortably with your back supported. Put your tongue where your gums meet your upper front teeth and keep it there throughout the exercise. Start by exhaling completely, making a whoosh sound. The next step is to inhale through your nose for 4 seconds. The goal is to fill your lungs with as much air as possible, but not uncomfortably so. We do this by focusing on breathing from the diaphragm rather than the chest. The next step is to hold the breath for approximately 7 seconds. The goal is to hold the breath, but try not to allow that hold to place too much pressure on your throat. Instead, try to let the breath sit comfortably in your lungs. The last step of this technique is to exhale through pursed or rounded lips for approximately 8 seconds. The goal is to make the exhale as controlled as possible, and pursing the lips helps us to do that. It turns out that it is the controlled, extended exhale that offers the most benefit for overall relaxation. The essential point of the exercise is to extend your exhales for twice as long as your inhales. The recommended starting point is 4 rounds to feel a shift, adding more as you gain experience with the practice. What I love about this technique is that it can be done anywhere and at any time, before going to sleep, during difficult conversations, on your commute to work, and supporting focus for any type of activity. My hope is that with some practice, this simple yet effective breathing technique will help decrease stress and support resilience in your daily life. If you'd like more information on this breathing technique or have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me at 415-225-0973 or go to my website, www.lilygodso.com. Until next time, this has been Reverend Dr. Lily Godso with Keeping Pace with Your Health.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
On the carousel, Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's, good food and good times for the entire family. And now your host for Coastside Carousel.
Listener-supported community radio for the Coastside is KHMB. And welcome to Coastside Carousel, the show that's by and for local artists along the Coastside and the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live. This week on Coastside Carousel, words and music with local singer-songwriter Rick Mixter, celebrating his new album, Storyteller, Volume 2, now on all streaming platforms. You may know Rick from the rock band The Trey Fabs, who I had on the show in 2024, and now the other side of Rick is the singer-songwriter, Storyteller, and that is our focus today with his brand new album. So Rick, the last time we met in the studio, you had done a gig with The Trey Fabs. You guys were all exhausted. I had all 4 of you in the studio. It was a cacophony of wonderful, brilliant artists, and now I've got you solo as the storyteller. Great to have you back.
I'm really glad to be here. The Trey Fabs is a lot of fun. I mean, who doesn't like a 4-piece rock and roll band? I started, and mostly the through line for me musically in the last 50 or so years has been my voice and a guitar.
Tell us about your background. I asked you for a brief bio. I never did get it. You and I have had wonderful phone conversations. I consider you a friend, and yet I don't know much about you. So tell the radio audience who you are. Who's Rick Mixter?
I grew up in New England. I've been here for long enough that I know the New Englander's always in me, but I'm a Californian. I had a kind of fancy education in poetry and literature, and I wrote poetry fairly seriously for some years, but all the time I was writing songwriting, and songwriting just overtook it because it's easier, but also it's more fun. And that's one of the nice things about this acoustic album is I got to choose from 50 years of songwriting a reasonably representative selection of things and a little leaning on the more poetic songs.
We're going to play three songs today. I asked you to pick three that you want to talk about. They are going to be Words, The Picture, and They Don't Know. I want to get into Words right now. We're going to play that and tell us, what is that about? I mean, we all love words. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of prophetic speaking about the tongue is as powerful as a wicked sword as it is a beautiful poem. Am I right?
Yes.
But you have a fun way of playing with this song.
I have loved words my whole life, and I've loved the power that they give us. And, you know, that was my literature was my main study in college and throughout my life. And as a songwriter, maybe I'm a little wordy, but, you know, I think it's because I used to write stories and poetry. But songwriting is just fun. Anyway, I thought it was time for a song about words, which give us such power and cause such confusion. But importantly, this song comes first on the album because it gives me a chance to have fun with words, but also to make fun of myself. It seemed like a lighthearted way to start.
Let's hear it now, Coastside Carousellers. This is Rick Mixter, his new album, Storyteller Volume 2, and the song Words on KHMB.
Words are not the way they seem to be. They go astray and free as want to be. Words of rainbow, words of black and blue. Words divide us, words stick me to you. Yeah, words stumbling on their way. Words, they don't do what we say. Words bombustulating on their way. Forget what they were really sent to say. So words of love we hope to hugging send are scrambulated wamply in the end. But it's just words stumbling on their way. Yeah, they're words. Somehow they can't say the obvious. What do you mean by I didn't say that? I would never speak that way. How can you think so? Who did you talk to? Can't you hear me when I say, oh, when I say now? I wish I am a thing of breath and to be. Not these complicated syllables of me. But shouting me in mime cannot be heard without the interfacingness of words. So we use words, mischief in the end. Yeah, words, broken, lost, or bent. My meaning, rhythm rhymes me in a song. Foot flapping music dances words along. So sing I am, so plucking string in tune. Melody and words together scroon. Yeah, they're just words slithering along. Yeah, words singing sideways wrong. Every day the sun shines large alive. Despite talking, somehow we survive. With all these words, mischief in the end. All words, broken, lost, or bent. They're just words, stumbling on their way. Yeah, words, they don't do what we say.
Community Radio for the Coastside is KHMB, 100.9 FM and AM 1710. This is Coastside Carousel, the show by and for local artists on the Coastside, celebrating the music this week of Rick Mixter and his new album, Storyteller, Volume 2, produced by Rich Pearsall of Studio E in Montera. Rick, before we played the song, you were talking about growing up in a musical family, operatic. What were your musical influences aside from that growing up?
Well, you know, started with the Great Folk Scare of the 50s, as I said, and then I got interested, like a lot of kids, you know. I was 14, I guess, and sitting on the corner of my bed, moving that needle on the record to hear that thing playing a cheap guitar in my lap. And then came the Beatles. That was a revolution. And clearly an influence in terms of crafting songs. But also, I've always been interested and continually been interested in traditional kind of folk music. And that strand, I think, comes through brilliantly today in writers who I very much admire, like Greg Brown, Jackson Brown, no relation, James Taylor. These are people who can sing poetry, and that's what I'd like to do.
We got so much to talk about, but I want to play another song. The next song you picked is called The Picture. Tell us about that.
This is a really interesting song to me because it embodies the advice that I give when occasionally asked to other songwriters, which is, if you're interested in songwriting, the most important thing you can do is just pay attention to what people say, what you see. This song, The Picture, is kind of an example of that. It's also an example of a story song. I really like story songs. I recognize, looking back over my work of the last many years and selecting pieces for Storyteller Volume 2, that I have story songs and I have character songs. And sometimes, of course, the characters drive the story. But I really like story songs, and this is a story song of an apparently angelic encounter. And it all started just by me paying attention. I was in San Juan, Puerto Rico, for business meetings. And one morning I got up really early, just after sunrise, so I could walk through the old colonial town on those beautiful old cobblestone streets. And in the morning light, I'm walking up a cobblestone street on one side. Well, on the other side of the street is another guy looking lost in his thoughts and maybe in his phone, when suddenly appeared before him, as if out of nowhere, a woman who somehow seemed to have more light around her than the early dawning day did. And she appeared to hand to this fellow across the street her phone. And then she started to pose, and he evidently got the message because I saw him start to take pictures, and she danced up the street and posed a few times more. He was taking pictures. She went around the corner. He went around the corner, and that was the end of it. That's what I saw. Well, I wondered, you know, what had just happened. And as I thought about it, I began to imagine the rest of the story. And I only witnessed the first scene, but Here's what happens. You know, it turned out to be a story of an unexpected angelic encounter. Implicitly, the song asks if you would recognize and embrace this kind of experience if it came to you. But explicitly, the song's more points to the importance of just accepting moments of transcendence and grace as they are, when they are.
All right, let's dive in now. This is called The Picture. It's Rick Mixter from his new album, Storyteller Volume 2, on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Walking through the cobbled streets of a dusty, tumbled town, someone called a greeting, blew my cobweb thoughts around. I looked up to see her. She was smiling like the sun. She said, "Please, won't you take my picture? I want to show everyone. I want to show everyone." She stood there like the queen of light with her incandescent smile. She handed me her camera and she skipped away like a child. She posed there in a doorway, her hand upon her hip. She struck another pose. Her camera began to click. Then I began to click.
at any random moment. We can stumble into grace. We almost catch that laughter, but then it's gone without a trace. She smiled again and danced away. I followed every motion. We float along the sidewalk in the tide of one emotion. Then through a darkened doorway and up a dusty stair, well, I heard her laughing echo, but I never found her there. I never found her there. But any random moment, we can stumble into grace. We almost catch that laughter, then it's gone without a trace. So I left her little camera at the turning of that stair. I smiled back to the sidewalk, yeah, I floated out of there. Perhaps she was an angel, a dream of light, a jest. I sat down on a curbstone, feeling somehow blessed. Feeling somehow blessed. And that any random moment, we can stumble into grace. We might almost catch that laughter, then it's gone without a trace. We hold on to that moment, but then we look away.
It's Coastside Carousel on Community Radio for the Coastside, KHMB, 100.9 FM and AM 1710. Brought to us each week by Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast. I'm Mike Dale, and today, Words and Music with Rick Mixter and his new album, Storyteller, Volume 2, produced by our good friend Rich Pearsall at Studio E in Montera. Tell us about They Don't Know.
Yeah, this is an emotional song. I don't know if I was upset or angry or what was going on. I suspect it's the usual thing of just I kind of caught a drift of something on the air and I tried to play it. I'd had a sense that I wanted to write a murder ballad for a long time.
A murder ballad?
Yeah, I'm not
changing. I've heard that term before.
Yeah, well, I learned from the great Scottish folk singer Gene Ritchie, concerts of traditional British traditional music almost always include a murder ballad. And you know, they've got hundreds of years of songs drawn, and there are a lot of great murder ballads. Now, the real mystery is why I decided to write this murder ballad from the point of view of the murderer. But it, you know, seemed to work once I started. And once I began to imagine the character, it was really fun writing him. And let me tell you, he's a bad one. You do not want to meet this kid. I can't like this character, but it sure is fun playing him for a few minutes. And when I can, I play that 50-year-old Guild 12-string guitar that I wrote it on. It just really, it's got a visceral quality, I think. See if you hear it. So here's They Don't Know.
Let's hear it now on Coastside Carousel. Rick Mixter, Storyteller, Volume 2, and the song They Don't Know on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Forgiven,
he don't know.
says he got the farm for a living, but he don't know. He don't know what I'm up to. He don't know. Mama says he got a bunch of bad friends, but she don't know. Mama says I'm gonna come to a bad end. She don't know. Mama says he got a bunch of bad friends, but she don't know. She don't know who I run with. She don't know. I got me a friend with a pistol. Got a girl at the bank named Crystal. She says that there ain't much risk, so they won't know. Yeah, they don't know. Get that gun, he don't know. Brother says, tell me what you've done, he don't know. Brother says, don't you carry that gun, he don't know. He don't know who I am now, he don't know. Says, where'd you get that money? Like he might know. Mama says something just smells funny. Like she might know. Brother says you didn't work for that money. Like he might know. Yeah, they might know about the bank job. They might know. I buried them beneath the bar. I told the cops a pretty good yarn. Just Crystal and me at the farm, and they don't know. No one knows.
Radio for the Coastside is KHMB, 100.9 FM and AM 1710. This is Coastside Carousel, giving local artists a sanctuary to talk about their lives and their music and their lives in music. I'm Mike Dale. And today it's Rick Mixter and his new album, Storyteller, Volume 2, produced by Rich Pearsall at Studio E in Montero. That was They Don't Know. Rick, I always say this, and I hate to say this, this 22 minutes goes by super, super fast. One thing you mentioned during the interview today, and I say this a lot myself, people go, how do you know that, Mike? How do you know this? How do you know that? My friends used to call me Mr. USA Today Live because I just have factoids in my head. And all I say about it, and you've said it several times during this interview, I pay attention.
Yeah.
Just pay attention. Rick Mixter, we're paying attention. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for a chance to talk about Storyteller Volume 2, Mike.
That'll do it for this edition of Coastside Carousel. Remember to support our local musicians, the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live, and the wonderful music venues along the coastside. I'm Mike Dale. Stay in tune and be well on your carousel.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. In the case Abedin versus Shemp, the Supreme Court ruled that the Bible could no longer be an independent textbook in public school curriculum. Would our founding fathers have agreed? Benjamin Rush certainly would have disagreed. Benjamin Rush was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he was a leading educator of the day. In fact, he was the first founding father to call for free public schools. Benjamin Rush declared, "The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of extinguishing Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools. The Bible should be read in our schools in preference to all other books." In the view of Founding Father Benjamin Rush, the Bible was the textbook of preference for public schools.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.